You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey. Welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, and we're on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I am so glad that you are here this week. I have been introduced to an amazing woman by the name of Sue Simmons that is here to serve at such a high level because she helps parents, mothers and fathers of autistic children, understand how they can react and love and help their children to a much higher level than they've ever thought is possible. I met her on a random basis. We immediately clicked. I knew that there was a reason we met. And one of those reasons is so that I can bring this message to you. I know right now there are listeners out there that have children that are on the spectrum that may have completely lost hope, are on long waiting lists, have no idea what the next step is. And I just want you to sit back and listen for the next 45 minutes because Sue's message is so hopeful and so loving and so kind and so optimistic and gives you so many new options and knowledge than you knew that was out there. So very happy that I get Sue. She is on a mission to change the world. She is on a mission to change the way our society views and addresses autism. For decades, frazzled parents of autistic children have waited anxiously for treatment, feeling hopeless and dependent. Sue proposes a new paradigm, and I want you to keep an eye on that. It's a new way that she's looking at this. Armed with training and new science, not only can parents cultivate dramatic changes in their children's lives, they are the ones that are ideally suited to do so. You guys, her reward at the end of how she helps you is that you now have this loving, amazing relationship with this child, this special child that was put here for you to help and for you to foster because they have such a big place to fill in the world. So I am so excited to have Sue, and we will be right back with Sue Simmons. And we are back with one of my favorite people. I know I said that all the time, but I'm serious this time. Her name is Sue Simmons. I connected with her 3 or 4 months ago and we hit it off immediately. She does a coaching program that is so near and dear to my heart. I think you all know that I have a son that has special opportunities that we work with. And so does Sue. Sue has some amazing stories. So Sue, welcome. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Oh, I knew when we first met that we were going to have something we were going to do together and bring to the world and bring to my listeners. There are people out there with children that are autistic, that are on the spectrum, and that have given up hope. And Sue has brought a new light to this whole thing. And it's brilliant and it's divinely inspired. So Sue, tell us kind of how you got on this path. And you don't really work with the autistic kids, right? You work with the autistic parents and families.
Primarily.
So tell us how you got on this path of knowing that this was your passion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it started way back in before the year 2000, as a matter of fact. My son at that time was 3. And seemed to be developing just fine. Everything was great. Happy little boy. We had wonderful times together. And then all of a sudden, it was like someone took him from me. Oh. He wasn't interested in engaging with me. He was more interested in being on his own and lining up his cars. And I couldn't get myself involved in play with him. And this continued And then just terrible meltdowns. And he became very controlling, and it happened so quickly. So
was it like a door had shut? I mean, what, could you see anything that contributed to it? Or was it really just like a switch had been thrown?
To me, it appeared like a switch had been thrown. And now there's something that is referred to as a neurological tipping point, which I'll talk about in a moment. But back to the story. So I wound up going to the doctor, seeking all this help, and it took us 2 years to get a diagnosis of autism. And at that time, there were so, you know, nowadays everyone knows someone who has a child with autism or a niece, nephew, whatever. And so I was given so few resources. I was given the name of another mom. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I started a support group. And that was right around the time that the internet became a thing. So I actually, I found email address and started connecting with people. And I started this group that grew so quickly to about 40 people. And it was in a church basement. We're talking grassroots. And what I noticed was that all of the parents were struggling with the same issues. Exactly the same. Their children were, you know, varying degrees of affectedness, but they were very controlling. Parents were really frustrated, didn't know what to do. Parents, the moms felt so incompetent, riddled with guilt and shame. It was, you know, it was really eye-opening. And so in one of the meetings, a woman brought in a brochure for a program that I took the brochure, looked at it and read it and just went, holy crap, this sounds too good to be true. I didn't actually say
like
holy crap.
Moments. I like those holy crap moments, yes.
So long story short, I wound up working with a consultant, I'm in Canada, the first Canadian to be certified in this intervention. And it was called Relationship Development Intervention. So it's an intervention for autism that is focused on building relationships. And so I worked with this woman for about a year and a half. Things completely changed for my son and I. It was nothing short of
a miracle
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like he still has his little quirks and all of that. So I became so passionate about what's possible that I went and did the training in Houston back in 2004, I think it was, for 2 years. I went back and forth and trained under two psychologists and became certified. And since that time, I've been working with families, but along the way, I've added in my own sort of signature touches, if you will. And I have discovered so much is possible for our children. And we are really, our society is looking at autism and treating autism upside down and backwards.
Wow.
And that's a pretty big statement.
Right.
And everyone.
It's hard to attack the status quo, right?
It's
a different way of looking at everything.
Yeah. And of course, everyone, every professional is well-meaning. Every parent needs to make their own, you know, their own educated decisions. But what I discovered very early on is that when parents have a child who is diagnosed, the first thing they're told is, you know, get your child into therapy. And so there's waiting lists, and parents sit on waiting lists feeling helpless and feeling frustrated and guilty because they don't know how to parent this child.
You know, and they think it's a, you know, it's a death sentence, right?
And they
aren't given, they're given facts. They're not given a lot of hope sometimes or a lot of different options to grow.
Well, exactly. And see, because there's so much, you know, we're conditioned to see autism as a behavioral issue. And yes, there's behavior associated with autism. But we get so hung up on behavior that we are focused on fixing behavior, you know, fixing the child. Everything is directed at the child. Mm-hmm. And no one has been asking, well, why is this behavior happening in the first place? Right? It's all about make behavior stop. And so over the years in my work, I have had, you know, countless parents come to me. And when I help them understand that they have the power to change things, they really need to be educated on how, why, like what's going on here. Why am I told that I can't do anything for my own child, that I'm the guardian of this child's future? Yet I have to wait and wait for someone to take my child outside of my family and bring them back in. But the mom is not given any support. Right. Any guidance, any understanding of what autism really is.
And what is autism really?
Yeah, so autism is a neurodevelopmental disability. I call it a challenge. So like when that. You think about it, yeah. So it affects the neurology, right? So that the body and mind are one. Our body and mind are completely connected.
Right.
So the child is born with different wiring in the brain. And so the easiest way for me to describe it is if you put a different operating system in a computer, the computer will operate differently. Mm-hmm. So this, and I don't mean to compare children to computers. It's just an easy analogy.
No, but it's a good metaphor, right? It's a good metaphor.
Yeah, yeah. And so these children really experience the world in a different way than we do. They experience, you know, gut issues. Sensory challenges right. are a huge thing for many kids, and they are so misunderstood. They process information differently. So information coming in may be interpreted differently based on, you know, the environmental noise. You know, there are all kinds of factors, but essentially they feel the world differently. They see it differently.
And because they see it differently, we think they see it incorrectly, or it's a wrong way for them to see it.
Right.
And then I think what we try to do is get them so much to try to get back into the norm. Right?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And, you know, that's like making a cat into a dog. We're dog sitting this week for my grand dog. And I see, oh my God, but that may not be a good metaphor. So go ahead. So autism, they're born with, their brains are just wired differently.
Yeah, their brains and bodies are wired differently. So they
people out there that are so feel guilty that they've done something to bring this on need to get rid of that.
Oh, for sure. And that's,
understand that this was a part of the big plan for this child. And once you kind of understand that and get some other options. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So, moms, you know, in my own case, my home when my son was small was, I was crying every day. I was yelling, screaming. I was a mess. I was not looking after myself. And that, of course, just makes matters worse.
Right.
Right.
Because these children are they're so sensitive to energy, right? And
yeah.
I mean, energy like from us, they know if we're mad, they know if we're sad. I mean, it's amazing. We think they're just sensitive to touch and to sound and lights and stuff, but it's energy they really pick up on.
It's true. And our energy impacts our child's energy.
Yes.
And vice versa. And that's all documented, you know, HeartMath.
Love HeartMath.
The HeartMath Institute. Yeah. They're
very scientific, very credible. Lots of peer reviewed articles. Yeah. It's a great resource.
Yeah, it really is. So these children are just terribly misunderstood. and so easily labeled as, you know, in school, because we're so focused on compliance, they're considered, you know, behavior issues. And when we're only seeking compliance and you have a child who is really struggling to, who may not be able to self-regulate, who is experiencing something, you know, from a sensory perspective or inside the body that is really distracting, distressing. Behavior is communication. You know, all behavior is communication. We're, you know, we're all human beings and our children are no different. They just feel the world differently. So when we see our children through the lens of, you know, behavior being communication, they're telling us that they are in distress. So this is a child who's having a hard time, not giving us a hard time. And that's a very different perspective.
I love that. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that on purpose. They're doing it because they don't have any other way to do it, right?
That's right. So in my work, what I do is I help parents really understand what's going on for their child, you know, how autism impacts the brain and the body, and processing challenges. And there, like I said, there are many, many other factors.
And let me just say something. You don't have a waiting list, right?
I'm close, but it very, you know, it goes up and down.
Well, you don't have a 9-month waiting list. There are tools and processes that you can give them immediately for immediate relief.
Absolutely.
And you know, my daughter works with autistic kids up at KU Med, and they have such a long waiting list. And there's that hopeless period where those parents are frustrated. And so this is such a great resource.
And it one of the things that I really focus on in my work is helping moms with their stress.
Yes.
Because moms are left out in the dust. They're kicked to the curb. Really, they're told to step aside, move to the back of the bus, and let us take it from here.
Well, right. But, and this is a client, you know, a patient-doctor relationship, right? And it's that is what these doctors are trained to do. Here is a child, and we need to help change this child. And that's great to some degree, but I love your perspective.
Well, it's not trying to change, like fix the child.
Right.
We're trying to reduce the child's stress, because stress is a tremendous factor here, because of the expectations that we have for our children. And, you know, we're seeking this compliance, and all we tend to see, you know, if we're conditioned to look for behavior.
That's what we see.
You know, guess what we see?
That's right.
Get more of, right?
That's the law of attraction. What we're looking for, we're going to see, right?
Exactly. So once a mom understands that this is not her fault, that this is a beautiful human being who is struggling and in distress, I can teach the mom how to de-stress herself. I use emotional freedom techniques. I use work in self-compassion and, you know, trying to establish a manageable self-care routine so they're more resourced. And then I teach parents how to shift communication so that they're reestablishing a more positive relationship with their child. You know, when we show up differently, the child responds differently.
It's so true. And I don't think any of us understand how important that is. We are frazzled and we still show up, but we show up in this frazzled state because that's what we've been told to do. And I love the fact that you've got a support system, a whole program that actually gives the mothers the opportunity to obtain the energy they need to become the best possible parent.
Yeah. And you know, a child's mother is the most important person in their life. Today, 10 years from now, and 20 years after that, relationships give us a platform for growth. So my focus is on building safe, emotionally attuned relationships between parents and child.
I love that.
Yeah.
And Tell us how we do that.
So it's a process. It's a bit of a, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I understand the mom. I do some behavioral assessments. So I understand her style. You know, is she a real go-getter or is she very soft and, you know, acquiescing? So I understand her style. And I help her understand how she's viewing her child's behavior, because if she's viewing it through the lens of my child as being a little, you know what, then how is she going to be addressing that behavior?
Right.
In a punitive way. Mm-hmm. Right. So once she gets all of that, and I teach to use something as simple as what I call a random act of love. So we have a very disproportionate number of negative interactions compared with positive interactions, right? Because we get stuck in power struggles, you know, our child's not listening, goes on and on and on. So we slowly shift the balance. So before long, the mom is going out of her way and just saying, I love you. You know, I love you. Thank you for helping me with whatever, you know. When you smile, it makes me so happy. And the child responds in turn.
So when we start looking for things that they're doing right, and we give them that validation, right?
Exactly.
Then we are looking for more things, and they feel good, and they, whether they know it or not, they're starting to do those things. So you're looking for things.
Sorry. They're responding to their parents' affection because they're humans, right?
Right. Yeah.
And this is the thing. Like, we've been conditioned to think that kids with autism are from Mars or something.
Right.
You know, they need compassion. So when we can show up in the face of difficult behavior, holding space for them, being compassionate and having empathy for how they are feeling, that behavior just dissipates.
I love it. I love it because it's focused on love and positivity, right?
It is.
And it's focused on a different energy. So you start doing that and you start seeing them different results, correct?
Yeah. And now there's much more to it. I teach them how to communicate in a way that's easier for their child to process the information. So for example, when we ask our child to do something and it doesn't happen, we talk, right?
Yes.
We use a ton of language.
Put on your sock.
Right. So it's demand. Well, who wants to hear that?
Right.
Right. So I teach them, you know, to use fewer words, because processing language is work for the child's brain. So rather than saying, Jimmy, you know, put your backpack away, did you eat your lunch? Who did you play with today? Which are all loving things to, you know, to do and say. Saying, you know, hey, hon, I missed you today. Oh, shoes. So, you know, so we can use one word. We can use nonverbal communication, because we tend to rely on the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start to use nonverbal communication, like, you know, the child looks at us, they pay attention, they figure it out, they're connecting the dots. And even something as simple as that is creating new neural connections in the brain.
Oh, I love neuroplasticity, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's what this is all about, baby. Yeah, we are all about changing the brain.
And it's really only been in the past, I don't know, 5 to 7 years that that has been even kind of mainstream, this neuroplasticity, that we can change brains. And I love the fact that you understand that we can change the little ones' brains who have autism, that it's not just stuck there forever.
Oh, heavens no. No. In fact, there used to be this thing called the boiled egg theory, that, you know, your child got to a certain point, that's it. There's no, our brains can change until we take our last breath.
Very pliable.
Yeah. And our children are no different.
Right. And how miraculous is that? I mean, that's miraculous in and of itself.
It is. But you see, the paradigm that we've been existing in is so different. It's all about the best we can do is get this child to stop doing these things that make them look abnormal.
Right.
Right. So we're talking about
and make us look like bad parents, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're out in public and people are looking at you like, why can't you control your child? I mean, it's not just the way your child is reacting to other people. It's how people are reacting to you as a parent, as a family. And it's so heavy.
It's such my goodness.
Yeah. It's so heavy. And you know, I love that you're working with this, the relationships, right?
Yeah. And it has been shown now, research is telling us that these emotionally attuned relationships, and by that, what I mean is like, we are emotionally in sync.
That's with our child.
Attunement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a relationship with at least one parent that is emotionally safe, meaning that the child feels emotionally safe with the parent. So the parent is not the cause of the child's fear. And
that is a great statement.
Yeah.
So the mother is trying to get them to comply. The mother becomes, right?
Yes.
The negative influence that the child is pushing against.
Yeah. And the really scary thing is that, you know, we can do damage. We can do harm. Our children have fragile nervous systems and they are very more susceptible to trauma. So, you know, if we aren't aware of what we are doing and why behavior is happening in the first place, and we are focused on, you know, I worked with families who've come in and said, my child is lazy. He's not trying. You know, he's going to be a sack of, you know what, if we don't do something. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking to like fix this child who's lazy, but the child is trying.
Mm-hmm. I know.
The child is doing the best that they can, but that child is not lazy. And that child is not trying. It's the fact that their stress level is so high that they are living in a state of fight or flight. You know, there's something called the polyvagal theory, which is back in the mid 90s. Dr. Stephen Porges has changed the landscape because we know that our kids' neurology is very, very different. So in my work, one of the things I use is a listening protocol that was developed with Dr. Porges that it sends signals of, it's like almost like hearing a sing-songy voice. It's not that, but that's kind of, so basically it talks to the autonomic nervous system and sends a calming signal. So over time, and not a very long period of time, the nervous system can be kind of supported. And
now, is this how a mom talks to their child? Is this what you're talking about? A way that they talk to their child?
It's a listening program, and there's music that have
frequencies. Okay, so you put that on the child. Okay,
frequency embedded into the music, so they're wearing headphones. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And so over just a few sessions, I see parents saying, my child wants to spend more time with me. My child has become more social. My child, they just seem to be more comfortable in their own skin.
Because they've calmed down their nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And this polyvagal theory has shown us that there's something called neuroception, which is, you know, we are wired for safety. So that is our biological imperative, is safety. How we feel in our environment dictates how our nervous system responds. Mm-hmm. So a child with autism is responding to what their nervous system is interpreting as a threat. And this is involuntary.
Right.
Right. So imagine a child.
It's constant with them, right?
It often is, but something that could seem so innocent, like in a classroom, for example, could set a child off And that child could then be seen as being disruptive and, you know, sent to the whatever room. I mean, it's just, it's tragic, because what these children need is compassion and acceptance and understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how else do you work with the mothers?
So I have a couple of different programs, but there's always a flow. So there's always, you know, understanding your powers, the first part. So really understanding that as a parent, you are the most suited person on the planet to do this work. You love your child more than anyone else in the world. You know them better than anyone else. You've got the most to gain, and you are totally invested in your child's success in life. And your child needs you for their life. And yes. So understanding that, taking your place and realizing that you belong in this equation. And then we move on to the mom herself. What is the meaning she's making of this behavior? How does this go back to her early childhood? Because there's a, you know, someone pushing a button in there from her past that is saying, for example, oh, when my child doesn't do what I want, you know, I feel disrespected. Right. But there's something behind that. So we kind of clear up what's going on there, understand, and then resource her through, so, you know, learning about self-compassion, doing meditation, doing tapping, breathing exercises. There's so many things to do. And then I help them reestablish a more positive relationship with their child. And then I teach them how to prevent power struggles. So you know, there are lots of strategies that I teach parents. For example, you know, if I said to you, Paula, you know, we're leaving now, it's time to go. And you said, you know, screw you, mom.
I laugh because transitions are so hard for them.
Oh, yes. Yes, right? They are. Yeah, yeah. So I teach them how to respond without getting stuck in a power struggle. So it could be, you know, grandma's waiting. You know, we don't want to be late, but it's definitely not, young man,
get in the car. Right.
Right. So we can, there are so many ways that we can diffuse situations and wind up feeling more emotionally connected at the same time.
Well, and diffusing a situation automatically makes you more connected because they're not resenting you. You're not resenting them. Right. And I love what you said. There's a flow. Right. And yeah. And I'm sure it doesn't happen the first time, but there becomes more like, a trust. And
yeah. Yes. And trust is a really important word because if I feel validated, if my experience of what is going on for me in my body, if you are, even if you don't understand completely, if you can sit with me and help me feel okay, I can borrow your calm, yes, supportive energy. And together, our energies combine with co-regulation, and it's a learning experience for both parties. Right? The mom realizes, holy cow, I really do have power here. Power to create more trust, more love, and more, more just genuine appreciation for who my child is.
And what's amazing is the mothers are rewiring their brains also, right?
You bet. You bet.
I mean, so, really, we're doing neuroplasticity on them, and it gets easier for them. Because what do you tell the mothers that say, how do I have time for this? I can't even keep up with what I've got because of the actions of my beloved child, right? Yeah. How do we bring this in? Because once they understand this, they're going to have more time. But what do we say to the mothers that say, I don't have the time. I just.
Yeah. Well, the first place I would begin there is, you know, by saying, I understand how you feel.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I do understand, and I really, really do. But then I would take a look at, you know, like, how are you spending your time? Are there things that you can let go of? You know, often when we're in a really bad place emotionally, we keep our minds busy with things, just anything, so we don't feel our real feelings.
Oh, that is so true. Or we're catatonic in front of the TV or in front of a screen, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's the only neutral time our brains get.
Right. Right. So trying to determine priorities, you know, what can we let go of? Mm-hmm. How can we, you know, how can we lower our expectations to the point where we're not trying to be, you know, Susie Homemaker,
right,
kind of thing.
Are they fed and do they have clothes on?
Exactly.
If that's yes, then we're good. You know, that's my parenting philosophy, then we're good.
Yeah, exactly. So the cool thing about this work is that we are doing the work in real time. So as we're interacting with our child, as we would on any day, we are practicing new ways of interacting. So there is a learning process involved. But the cool thing is, once things start to shift, I have a client that comes to mind who, for various reasons, her son did not want to have anything to do with her. And she was devastated. And after about 2 months of, you know, the whole educational process, mm-hmm. the whole understanding piece,
and the energy, right?
Yeah,
changing her energy, the energy,
her self-care.
Yes.
I had her carve out about 10 minutes every couple of days doing something with her son that they could both enjoy. And so there was no one else around. It was one-on-one time that was real quality time. So that combined with looking for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like just, you know, moments of affection, random acts of love, things turned around. It's not rocket science, but I mean, there is a lot of science involved in it, but we are all human beings. And so, you know, we can, like, if I showed up with you in a completely different way, you know, you would respond to me in a completely different way.
Absolutely. And these little ones pick up what you're putting down, right?
And
if she feels more comfortable and more secure with what she's doing, it's going to translate over to that on the whole thing. I think that's amazing. And you know, I know one of the things I was so drawn to you, because when I teach anything, it has to be based on science, because I was an attorney, right? I want to validate everything. You've got to document
of course.
Everything. And when I first started talking to you, although this sounds miraculous and it's so, you know, it's an energy-based system, but it's all based on science, right?
Absolutely.
Everything you do is based on past documented science, which makes mothers feel much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The belief system is there, so it's easier for them to say, okay, let me give this a try. This woman is not crazy like Paula is.
Sarah's
sure much better at this than Paula is. And so I just want everybody to know that I have vetted this woman, and I am blown away by what she teaches and the science behind it.
Well, and you know, what you mentioned is so true. Like when a mom that comes to mind for me, her name is Sam, and you know, she's had tremendous success. This is a woman who had struggled with anxiety and other mental health challenges, as so many of us do, right? And her fear was, I'm not going to be able to do this. But I believe in my clients until they believe in themselves.
I love that.
And that's what they need at the beginning.
They need a support system from somebody that says, I've been there, I've done that, right?
Yeah.
And follow my footsteps and start believing it works, you know, until you can actually believe it yourself.
Well, it's kind of like emotional freedom techniques, EFT,
right.
You know, even if you don't believe it's going to work, it's doing something.
Right.
So just, it's a leap of faith almost.
I love that. And sometimes we have no other way to go.
That's right.
Right? If you're on a huge waiting list and you feel so out of control, or even if you do have some therapy for your child, this is still such an addition. This is not in place of, right?
Well, it depends.
This is an addition to.
Some parents are not inclined toward, you know, behavioral therapy. But like I said, everyone makes their own decisions.
Right.
Moms who tend to come to me are moms who really want to be in the lead. You know, this is my child. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to parent this child. I want to feel like I've got a relationship with this child. I don't want just compliance. I want to know this person, cultivate their strengths, you know, help them be the best version they can be in this world. So,
and they are here to offer something huge.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They are here for some big reason. And when we can help that seed grow, there's nothing bigger or better that we were put here to do.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's a movement afoot, you know, of where people are beginning to embrace neurodiversity. And some, you know, larger companies are now employing individuals on the spectrum for their strengths. And so there is a place for everyone in this world. And I mean, there are so many people in the world today who are autistic, who have given the world huge gifts. So the potential,
like Temple Grandin, right?
Yeah,
I mean, she's amazing, and I still don't get what she does. But I mean, she sees things that the rest of us don't see. And
well, that's just it.
Yeah, and when we understand they're not broken people, they're amazing people that we haven't figured out how to communicate with. It changes. I love you use the word paradigm at the very beginning. It changes the way we view this, that we're here to help them be the best they can be with that communication.
Yeah. And so, the paradigm is all based on beliefs, right? It's just this paradigm has a different, more positive set of beliefs that are, again, all based on science.
And, you know, autism, I don't know what it used to be, but I think 1 out of 28 children are now diagnosed autistic. And it used to be, you know, 1 out of hundreds was. And I think some of it is because if they get better at the diagnosis. But I also think that, you know, maybe our brains are developing in another way. And it is not a death sentence, but it's only been around 20 to 30 years where they've actually known how to do something different. So we're at the very tip of understanding, don't you think, of how this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my work is based on a developmental approach to autism. And so, you know, the need for understanding that the child's development has been impacted and what that looks like is huge. And when we combine all these other elements into the picture, we can literally change the future for these children.
Of course we can.
Absolutely.
Of course we can. We know how powerful we are as spiritual people. And we also spiritual guides that we are down here to do a lot more with. So, Sue, I'm so glad we connected and I honor your time. I want you to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and what you have to offer people. There's some people that are listening right now that go, you are a godsend, Sue, and you are, and they need this. So please tell us how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So my website is equinoxfamilyconsulting.com. So Equinox. And the reason I used Equinox is because the equinox occurs twice a year. And on the equinox, there's an equal portion of day and night.
Uh-huh.
So that's my way of saying I'm giving children with autism an equal opportunity to enjoy quality of life.
Oh, I love that.
EquinoxFamilyConsulting.com. I have a Facebook group for moms and dads too, but it's like 99% moms, unfortunately. You know, God love.
But dads can do it too, right? You invite dads.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's called Empowered Parents Navigating Autism. And it's a free group. I do a free Facebook Live every Thursday evening. I'm doing one tonight on how to bring calm into your home. So if you are interested in getting a hold of me, you can message me through my website. I've got lots of videos on my website. There's a e-guide to understanding autism and difficult behavior that you can grab free. And my program offerings are on the website. And I would love to talk to anyone who's interested. Oh,
I love that you showed up. I love that you showed up here on my show and in my life, but I'm also glad that you showed up in this world, because there are so many people that you're going to change. And even if you don't have a child that's been diagnosed on the spectrum, you can still get on and talk about a calming environment, because I'm sure all kids are going to be able to relate to this, and or mothers, and yes, how to get a calming environment. So I'm sure the tools that you offer are just invaluable. And Sue, thank you so much for coming on today and for all that you do.
Thank you so much, Paula. It's been so nice.
Oh, it's been so nice. Thank you. And we will be right back. And we are back. I love Sue. I love the fact that she has stepped up and taken a situation where her child was diagnosed autistic, and instead of feeling powerless, she became powerful and put together a set of resources that helps her and helps everyone that she touches. So anyone out there that would love to learn more, please get a hold of her. And please know that there's a reason you were here today, and that there's a reason that Sue has stepped up. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank all those people that are listening every week. Your numbers are growing. We're into the thousands. Please share this with other people, because the people that I find through source, through God, through divinity, are here to give messages. And whoever you can share this with, I would be honored. You know, I also want you to know that I would love to have you contact me. I'm at lawyerofattraction.com. I also have a Facebook group, Your Success Formula. You can always find my book on Amazon, The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction. I am here to offer whatever help that you need. I have some amazing programs, and I do some one-on-one coaching. So there's a reason you're here. There's a reason we always connect. And there's a reason that we're going to do great things in this world. So as Ram Dass always says, we are here just to walk each other home. And I'm very honored to be on this journey. And so until next week, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.